this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice in God.
I'd like to welcome you all here today, the first Sunday of Lent. For those watching at home, we're using Divine Service 3 from the Lutheran Service Book, dim numbers 418, 424, 656, 440, 439, and 427. Well, Father, the service received on the way in begin on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the procession of him. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
Let us kneel and be seated for confession.
Thank you.
darkness of this world toward the glory of the world to come, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's holy word.
Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So he went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ, you walk the road, your one.
cross for those who love me. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted and is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth, and by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
We rise for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the children's lesson. Towards me, towards the baptismal font. Make a right, walk towards the outside aisle. Make another right, and walk to the first candle.
And then he promised Abraham he was going to have a son.
And then God spoke up. God sent an angel and said, "Bold Abraham, your faith is awesome. Your faith is awesome." That's what we hear. God said, "Abraham, you don't have to do it, but I know that you love me and you follow my word." And sometimes we don't want to follow God's word, do we? You ever not want to follow God's word? Or just forget about it? Just forget and say, "Oops, what happens when we forget God's word? What do we do? What kind of things do we do that aren't so good?" What do? We sin. We sin. You ever sin, Declan? Maybe. We all do. You know what? So we remember God's word because God's word is always true and always a promise to us. And we heard Mr. Farmer read, it's the promise of the crown of life in James. So I'm going to close with these words that Mr. Farmer just read from James. Listen close. He said, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, who holds to my word, even when it's hard to follow. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." And what is that? What is it? Heaven. Eternal life in heaven and crown of life. Do you want the crown of life, Declan? Yeah, me too. Say a prayer with me. Heavenly Father, help us hold true to your word. Thank you for testing us and sending your Holy Spirit to help us remember you.
We continue with the sermon hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," on page 8 and 9.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why is it that Christians move the primary day of worship from the Jewish day, Sabbath day of Saturday to Sunday? What happened on Sunday that we celebrate each week? Jesus rose from the dead. Each Sunday is a little Easter as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection over and over again throughout the year. At our voters' meeting last Sunday, our congregational president, Matt Franke, remarked how each Sunday is also a little epiphany because Jesus' identity, his true identity, is revealed over and over again. We've entered the season of Lent starting last week with Ash Wednesday. Lent is a penitential season, a time to reflect on Jesus' suffering and death on the cross and to be penitent, which is to be feeling or showing sorrow and regret for what you have done. Lent is a time to sorrow over your sin and repent. A time to turn away from sin and turn back to God. There is a tradition of giving something up for Lent. It can be a spiritual exercise of self-denial and self-control. Fasting and prayer during Lent can be helpful in meditating on what Jesus has done for you. Extra scripture reading can be added. What you do during Lent is up to you. The Roman Catholic Church requires that their people not eat meat on Fridays during Lent. From what I could glean, this came about because Jesus died on a Friday, and Rome requires a fast from eating meat from warm-blooded animals. But it's okay to eat meat from cold-blooded animals like fish. Apparently, other cold-blooded animals would also be acceptable, but the snake fry or the alligator fry has not caught on much, except in Louisiana. I think it's good to give something up for Lent. But instead of something like chocolate or beer, how about you give up sin for Lent? What better way to show sorrow over your sin than by giving it up? Repent and believe the good news that Jesus died for your sins. Lent is about baptized children of God living like baptized children of God. Now, giving up sin for Lent is easy to say, but it is hard to do. You are, as you've confessed in other weeks, you are by nature sinful. By nature, unclean. You sin with your thoughts. You sin with your words. You sin with your deeds. Giving up sin is challenging because you live in a world of sin. But remember, you are in this world. You are not of this world. You are by nature sinful and unclean. But God has declared you to be holy, blessed, and innocent. Therefore, you are holy, blessed, and innocent. And as a holy, blessed, innocent child of God, you are called to stand firm. In James 4, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In our epistle lesson today, James is writing to Christian brothers and sisters scattered throughout the Mediterranean world. He's teaching them how to live as a follower of Jesus. A little before our reading today, James teaches that trials, temptations, and testing are good for your faith. In James 1, verse 2 to 4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, it's worth noting that there's only one Greek word in James for trials, temptations, and tests. English translations like to pick one of the three in various places, but that may be much more specific than the author intended. We probably should look at the broader range of meanings there. More like, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials, temptations, and testings of various kinds. In James 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, temptation, and testing. For being genuine, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Being genuine is a better translation than when he has stood the test. Being genuine is the literal translation of the words here. Being genuine is being a Christian. Being who you are. God has promised believers the crown of life. So for Lent, give up sin. Remain steadfast. Don't make excuses for sin. Don't blame God. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Blaming God is popular. Adam used this in the Garden of Eden. The man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. It's popular these days to say something along the lines of, well, God made me this way. It's God's fault. James teaches us, don't blame God. James then gives us a progression of sin. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Sin begins with desires. So battle sin in your thoughts. Be aware and be honest about your own desires. Know which desires are against God's will. Be aware and be honest about what triggers you to lose your temper, to go to the dark side of the internet, to get drunk, to steal, to disobey your parents, to indulge your lusts, to be hateful, to be prideful, to be lazy. What triggers you to give up in delighting in God's will and walking in his ways and instead conform your life to the ways of the world? What prompts you to take your sin from desire to words or actions? Know your triggers and break the pattern of sin. Change your behavior and remain steadfast. Give up sin for Lent. Stop making excuses. Battle sin in your thoughts. And sinful thoughts will come to mind. This is proof that you are indeed a sinner, but do not indulge them. Do not welcome them. Don't dwell on them. As Martin Luther once said, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Battle sin in your thoughts. Don't let the sin bird build a nest and take up residence. Remain steadfast. In 1 Corinthians 10, we learn, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. Now, often, you are very successful in resisting temptations, remaining steadfast through trial and test. You have sinful thoughts, and then you reject them out of hand, knowing that they're evil. You are often successful, and you often fail. As you try to give up sin for Lent, you will find, in the words of C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity, when a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that is still left in him. When a man is getting worse, he understands his badness less and less. Also, a moderately bad man knows he is not very good. A thoroughly bad man thinks he's all right. So as you intensify your struggle against sin, you will learn that you truly are, by nature, sinful and unclean. Knowing this, keep up the struggle, because you do not belong to the world of sin and evil. You are a baptized child of God. Live life being genuine to your identity in Christ. Remain steadfast through tests, temptations, and trials. When you fail to remain steadfast, repent and remember who you are in Christ. Return to the Lord your God. Sorrow over your failure, but remember you have a Savior and Redeemer who has overcome testing, trial, and temptation. You have been ransomed from sin, death, and the devil by the Son of God himself, the Lamb of God who overcame the devil and who sacrifices himself for you. Remember that it is not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You are forgiven by Jesus, who generously pours out forgiveness on you in his word, in baptism, and in Holy Communion. In Christ, you are holy, innocent, and blessed. You may or may not be giving something up for Lent or adding something like Bible reading and prayer. That is all part of your Christian freedom. But I call on all of you to give up sin for Lent. Give up sin because you are a baptized child of God. Remain steadfast in the truth of God's word. Be genuine to your identity as being born again in water and the Spirit. Give up sin for Lent. And come to think of it, just like every Sunday is a little Easter and even a little Epiphany, living a penitential life of sorrow and repentance shouldn't be just for Lent. Penitence is Christian life every day of the year. So every day, die to sin and rise to new life in Christ, because you are a baptized child of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting.
In our prayers today, remember Carolyn Ott receiving chemotherapy treatments. For Deanna Hughes, who is Selmayr's daughter, has been taken home from the hospital and placed on hospice care. And for Jaden, a friend of Serena Collins, who has been hospitalized. Heavenly Father, as we enter this Lenten season of repentance and renewed devotion, we pray that you would remember us according to your steadfast love and goodness in Christ, and instruct and lead us by your Spirit in your ways, so that we may repent and believe the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you placed the wood of the cross on the back of your only begotten Son, that as the promised offspring of Abraham, he might possess the gates of hell. Bless and pray his church and all those called to preach and teach within her, with the certainty that those gates cannot prevail against them, that in faith they may boldly trample every power of the enemy underfoot. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home from the assaults of the evil one. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ and his word. Lord, in your mercy. Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes down to us from above, keep us from being enticed by our own desires to misuse your gifts in sin, and help us to use them rightly in service to you and our neighbor. Bless all our leaders that they may be governed, God, that they may be governed wisely and justly for the good of this present generation and all those to come. Lord, in your mercy. Most High God, our refuge in every trouble, you have promised to hear when we call to you. We pray that you would command your angels to guard our brothers and sisters, especially Carolyn, Deanna, and Jaden, and all those who suffer in our midst. Keep them from every evil that can befall the body, mind, and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, the time is fulfilled and your kingdom is at hand as your beloved Son comes to us here at the altar. By your Spirit, grant that we may receive him in repentance and believe the gospel proclaimed to us in his body given and his blood shed. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we remember with thanksgiving those before us whom you brought forth by the word of truth, who now live and reign in your presence with your Son. As you have also brought us forth by that word in baptism, we pray that you would bring us to full maturity by your word, that we too may be gathered with them to your Son on that glorious harvest of the last day. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Thank you.
Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you. take and drink the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
Take and drink the blood of Christ. Blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.